Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you and I praise you. And Father God, I repent for those who could not get into the song of service tonight and couldn't worship you in truth and in spirit. I repent, Father God, that we don't have the right mindset about our president of the United States, the man that you chose to put in office. And Father God, I repent that as of today, we are still not ready for the glory to drop on us. And I just ask you, Father God, that you move in a special way tonight, a different way than you have been moving. And Father God, change your hearts and change your minds, change your attitudes, Father God. And let us be true children to God, that we are witness wherever we go, just like Elaine was. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was sitting here Sunday and God said, you know, my question before God is why when you people get a deliverance, you don't keep it. And he just gave me the word intrusive. I've never heard that word before. Okay. So I went home and I looked it up. I said, well, by George. So you're going to hear is how do you fight intrusive thoughts? This is why you're not being set free one of the reasons why you're not before God says is because of your mindsets. And whenever you have intrusive thoughts, if you don't react to them properly, you're not going to be set free. So I looked at the word intrusive, and it said tending to intrude, especially upon privacy. And isn't that what the enemy does? He intrudes upon our privacy, doesn't he? He intrudes upon our time with the Father. He intrudes upon your prayer life. He just intrudes upon everything. All right, and this is a testimony that I found on the computer. It said, intrusive thoughts come at the most unexpected time, and they always pop up memories of the time before I was in Christ. The time before I was in Christ, he said. They always bring memories of pornography. I've long given up on those things, and since I gave them up, I've been fighting the sin of sexual immorality and diminished it to the point where it only exists in my mind. Sadly, it already formed a stronghold in my mind, and there I suspect it is a source of the intrusive thoughts tempting me to return to watching pornography. This man was into a lot of things, but I just picked this one thing out, he said. The good thing is that the Holy Spirit has prevented me from watching such profanity again. Who did it? Holy Spirit. But as long as that stronghold exists, I'll always be in the risk of being tempted to return to watching pornography. So I need help to overcome this stronghold. So in short, my question is, how do you fight intrusive thoughts? And if you can answer my question, how do you control your mind? So that's where we're coming from, all right? This is a man who's been there, done that, and I read his whole testimony. It sounded like he was given that there thing you gave about pornography. But this isn't who wrote that, though. All right. This is a problem common to all Christians. All of us are going to experience intrusive thoughts, every one of us sitting here. People can be bombarded with intrusive visual stimuli also. A man might be driving down the road and here comes a billboard with a half-naked woman on it. Right? Or there's always women who come to church with their low-cut tight clothes on. And I could say there's always men in the church who wear their tight pants. The first look is accidental. Everybody listen. The first look is accidental. The second and longing look is the sin. Are y'all getting this? Now, this could be cigarettes. This could be alcohol. This could be drugs. This could be overeating. It could be anything like that. All right. In the case of intrusive thoughts, our mind is a battlefield. And the devil is going to throw grenades of horrible thoughts our way. The first flicker of the wicked thought is an attack and not sinful. But the dwelling on it and allowing it to fester in our minds is the sin. It could be overeating too if I didn't say that. And how many of you know whenever you're a glutton, you'll be sitting there praying or reading your word and all of a sudden this little mind says, pie in the ice box, you know, put whipped cream on it, get thee behind me, Satan, you know, there's some leftover turkey in the refrigerator, you can make a sandwich, right? This is intrusive thoughts, okay? And there are all kinds of thoughts that the devil uses to make us feel out of control of our thoughts. Sexual perversions, thoughts of revenge, come on. repetitive mental do-overs of the past that will accomplish nothing. The past is over. You know, keep going back to the past. Instant and judgmental thoughts of new people we meet. You know, I'm saying that. I was telling, but I stepped in that wrinkle we have back there. And when I first started evangelizing, I went into a church and they had carpet discolor and it was all wrinkled like that. And I'm sitting there saying, God, that's terrible. And I'm looking around like this, saying to myself, God, that's terrible. Look at all the wrinkles they have in this carpet. You know, this is your house. They should put a new carpet in here. And I tripped over that thing back and I said, see, it came back to haunt me. I have wrinkles in the rug. I can't really replace the rug because the floors under it might fall apart. All right. See what I'm saying? Intrusive thoughts. I should not have been sitting there judging the floor. I should have been sitting there having my mind on Christ, right? You see what I'm saying here? All right. Instant and judgmental thoughts of new people we meet. Thoughts of justification of our sins. You know, at least I'm not as bad as old so-and-so. Sin is sin. Covetous thoughts. We lie and tell someone we are happy for them when in reality we are very, very jealous of them. And the list goes on and on and on. You aren't alone. So what do we do? I mean, you know, every one of us are going to have these thoughts come in our mind. The instant the thought comes, say to yourself, that's not for me anymore. I reject that thought in the name of Jesus. That's what you really should do and mean it. Tell God you are struggling with this. Admit to God, I'm having a problem here. Confess to God that your past, which he has forgiven, has its hooks in you mentally and spiritually sometimes. Follow the instructions of the Word of God. Think on good things, that's what the Word of God tells us, honest, true, pure, noble, praiseworthy, and more. Memorize Scripture. David said, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians that we need to cast down every imagination that is against the knowledge of God. That's where we sin, is this stupid mind goes crazy. And we think of all these, you know, the devil puts all these thoughts. The devil doesn't even have to. Sometimes we just do. I'm tired of blaming everything on the devil. Sometimes we just, wow, look at all so-and-so, what they did to me. You know, that's you. That's not the devil telling you that. That's just you. You're going into your past. You can't get over your past. You can't get over somebody hurting you or whatever they've done to you. And you, that's just you. Well, that's still intrusive thoughts. So you need to get them under the blood. All right. So I said, Paul said in 2 Corinthians that we need to cast down every imagination that is against the knowledge of God. Whisper in your mind, I cast this thought down in the name of Jesus. Are you listening? Find an accountability partner going through the same thing and pray for each other and report to each other how you are doing. All right? Be accountable. Be very, very, very careful what you watch, read, view, think on, and more. Even some things we think are benign can lead to sin. Constantly pursuing the fulfillment of the promise that I have been given power to become one of the sons of God. Most of all, don't think that you are alone. You remember God told me one time, daughter, you're not the only one in this boat. You're not alone in here. There's many more people in this boat with you that's going through the same thing you are. And so I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your intrusive thoughts are. There's many more having the same, very same thoughts that you're having, because the enemy's out to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy's out to bombard your mind to the place where you can't even hear the voice of God and can't do the things that God would have you to do. There's a whole world out there who battle intrusive thoughts. The first thing to do is to get intimately connected with others on a mental and spiritual level. You know, this is why if you're a drug addict, you don't hang around drug addicts. You don't hang around an ex-boyfriend, an ex-girlfriend, or ex-friend friends. You know, you get yourself away from that kind of thing. I'm watching people who got rid of their drugs, and they got with somebody who's doing drugs, and they're right back to square one again. Now they're going to start all over again to get free. You know, they should never went there. They shouldn't have done that. This satisfies the same. All right, so I said the first thing to do is to get intimately connected with others on a mental and spiritual level. This satisfies the same desire that seeing pornographic images does. In other words, if you're with somebody you know, a friend, somebody you really care about, you know, have fellowship with, talking to them will get your mind off the pornography and it'll get you on the things of God. And so the desire and the longing you had in your heart, that for pornography will disappear, and all of a sudden you'll be talking about the things of God, and that's what you'll want, is the things of God and not the pornography, or whatever it is you're fighting. Spend a lot of time talking to others about the thoughts that you have. Also take time to put good things in to think about. Meditate on the things of God. If you will do this, your mind will be continuously healing. You won't suffer from euphoric recall like you once did. Your mind will be retrained. Like I have somebody in my family who says, you know, certain things trigger her wanting to go back and do drugs again. You know, and I said, well, right now it's alcohol. And I said, why would you want to go drink when you about died? Well, just like there's triggers out there that makes me want to go back and drink. Nothing would make me want to go back and drink. No, I just judged. I'm sorry, God, please forgive me. Amen. But you know what I'm saying? This is from the devil. He's the one that's putting those thoughts in your mind. You want to drink, do drugs, or go out and have sex, or whatever it is, you know, that he's getting put in your thoughts. It's a devil. And you don't want to go do that. Well, at least, you know, when she came to me crying, please pray for me. Please pray for me because I really, really, really want to drink right now. You know, so we prayed. You have heard the saying GIGO, which stands for garbage in and garbage out. We need to change it to God in and God out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Stay daily in the Word. Do your best to stay away from the filth that you see and hear. They cleave to your mind. You know, whenever you get around to filth and everything, it cleaves to your mind. Next thing you know, without even wanting to do it, you're doing what you're around. All right? I have little kids in my home, and the grown-ups cuss. Next thing I know, the little kids are cussing. Why? Because when they're around them, that's all they're hearing. So they know it's wrong, but they do it anyhow. So it cleaves to them. In spiritual warfare, you need armor. And your armor is daily prayer, daily reading the sword of the Spirit, your Bible. Reading is not enough. You must absorb Scripture and memorize it. If you're like me and can't memorize, just keep reading it. Believe me, when you need it, it'll come up. If you have it in there, it comes up. The best scripture for intrusive thought is 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, which is intrusive thought, against every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, which is man's wisdom versus God's wisdom, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Simply put, sanctify your thought life. What a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The more scripture you memorize, the more difficult it is to relive past sins or repeat present sins. So I said the more scripture you memorize, the more difficult it is to relive past sins or repeat present sins. A couple times, the kids really have pushed my last button, and I'll go into the bedroom and go into the study, and Larry has Christian music on his computer playing, and it really soothes me. I said, that's a good song. I'm glad you're playing that. Or he'll have a scripture up on his screen, and I'll read it, and it's just what I need at that moment to get my thoughts off of what the kids just did and get it on Christ. Are you listening to this? Everybody should be playing Christian music in their home 24/7. All right, sin begins in the mind, then creeps into your heart. This is difficult to do if there's a ton of scripture already in your heart. Thy word I have hid in my heart, so I might not sin against thee, is what David said. Intrusive thoughts could also come from the company you keep or the church you go to. Meditate on the word, and your conscience will be clear enough to serve God. You can't be used of God if your mind isn't on God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. This is what God's been trying to get us to do. He's been trying to have intimacy with Him so that we won't give in to the wiles of the enemy. You know, if we get intimate with God and stay intimate with Him, then the enemy has no place in us. Do you understand this? And I can tell who is intimate with God and who isn't because I watch what you do and I listen to what you do. I came and asked prayer today. I said, if you don't pray for me, I'm going to go to jail. Something has really pushed my last button. See, and I'm honest. And you know, and I needed somebody to pray with me right at that point. So this is what you have to do. Whenever you know your last button's been pushed, you have to go and ask for prayer. Sometimes when the kids are really working my nerves and Larry knows that he goes outside, he's, I'll be back in a little bit. And I know he's going somewhere. Pray that I don't lose my mind at that given moment. I mean, I know he does. Amen. And you need somebody like that around you. That when they can see you really rattled, that, you know, that you need prayer. That the enemy has really bombarded you. You're not above asking for prayer, by the way. All right. You are the soldier. And your mind is a battlefield. How do you know if the thought is of God? See if it lines up with Scripture. The Bible is our anchor that prevents us from being taken away in this ocean of filth called the lost world. All right, let's say that again. You are the soldier. Your mind is a battlefield. How do you know if the thought is of God? See if it lines up with Scripture. The Bible is our anchor that prevents us from being taken away in the ocean of filth called the lost word. That should be world. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. How many times have you heard that? My mother used to always tell me that. Barbie, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. Put on your armor, shield of faith to quench the fiery darts, which is intrusive thoughts of the wicked. Pray without ceasing, not a suggestion, a holy commandment. Pray without ceasing. Your mind should always be upon God. Not your past, not the situation you're in right now, but it should always be on God. Even when you're going through a situation, your mind can still be stayed on God. But that isn't what's happening. What's happening is your mind's getting bombarded with what the situation you're going through. I'll always be in the risk of being tempted to return to watching pornography. That's just a statement. That isn't the truth, okay? Because I'm going to cover that. The first step to renewing your mind is to be mindful of your words. I'll always be. Yes, you will, as long as you have claimed that as your own. It is yours. I won't ever stop smoking. No, you won't, because you just took it. This cancer in my body. I just claimed it. You see what I'm saying? We have to watch our words. If you said something you shouldn't have said and cursed yourself, then repent right away and ask God to forgive you for using words to curse your own self or even other people. You have to watch what you're saying. I heard one say the mouth goes faster than the mind. Truth. You ask, how do I control my mind? How do I fight intrusive thoughts? Do you remember the old saying, an idle mind is a devil's workshop? If you're as old as I am, you heard that all the time. That's what your parents always told you. They always kept you busy. Well, that is true, and it is not about controlling the mind, but controlling the tongue. The mind is like an empty cup. Fill it with the things God says to fill it with. And Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, this is what you should fill it with. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Are you listening? And this goes to, if you're thinking about other people too. This should really apply to the other people that you think about. Look at that, no good, whatever. That isn't, you're supposed to be saying these other things, whatever soever is good, but everything is pure. There's good in everybody. There is. And that's what you're supposed to be looking at. And I just went through a slump where all I could look at was the bad. And so God has turned me around, and now I pray for those people. And I don't see their bad. I'm seeing all the good things that God's been telling me that he's going to do in their life. Amen? Come on. All right. If that cup is filled to the brim with the things of God, then there is no room for thoughts of any other kind. To have intrusive thoughts is a good indication that you are not filling your spirit, your mind, or yourself with what is good and nourishing for growth, and you are hindering that new creature in Christ Jesus from being born again, holding on to the old man. You know, Larry's had many struggles when I first met him, and God told me right from the get-go, we prophesied to him, all they see is what's going on the outside. Nobody sees how hard you're struggling to get yourself free. And the other night he woke me up and reminded me of that. And so I said, okay, God, I see what you're saying. I have to constantly look on that good thing that what we look at the outside on everybody, but we really don't know what's going on the inside. But I had forgotten that God had spoken that to him right here in this room for everybody to hear. All right. And he did struggle. He did fight. He did build himself an altar outside and pray. He did all those things. What have you done? You little Christians, you. Did you go outside and build an altar? Do you go outside and cry out to God, set me free? Are you sitting there saying, they need to change? No, you need to change your thoughts. You need to stop having intrusive thoughts about the people. How dare they do this to me? Do you know what they did? God doesn't want to hear that. God, it doesn't matter what they did, bless them. Most of you can't pray that. If you can't pray that, then God's not ready to use you yet. Because you're still hung up in something. Oh, my. You know, and really, until you can truly pray for those who have despitefully used you and do good for them, God can't use you because your foundation is not love. My granddaughter was reminiscing the other day how she stole all my jewelry and sold it, how she broke into my house and stole our safe and, you know, stole $4,000 and all my gold Christmas presents I had in there. And then she, you know, was reminiscing how she'd get in my wallet and steal, pocketbook, steal all the money I had and wouldn't have no money. And, you know, and how she took my gas card and filled everybody's car up with it, you know. My granddaughter lives with me and I love her to pieces. I don't ask her to repay anything and I won't. Love covers a multitude of sin. The same granddaughter stole all my mother's money. My mother, poor mother, lived with me thinking I was spending her money. My brother and sister still think I stole her money, and my granddaughter was stealing it and buying drugs with it. I still love her. Come on. And I pray for her daily. She's paying for her sins. Everybody pays for their sins. God doesn't need you to rub their nose in the dirt. Are you listening here? Come on. You know, what are you going to gain? What are you going to gain by taking them to court? I'm talking about heavenly court. What are you going to gain, you know, by going up and saying, God, you just have to do something. I want revenge. You know, you're not gaining anything. It's done. It's over with. You can't bring it back. At least she has good memories. She got stuck in the bathroom window and pooped herself and passed out while they were trying to get her out of the car. She was too heavy and got stuck in there. You know, picked the safe up, you know, and carried it out to the barn and stole my daughter's drill or whatever, cut it open. They all sit and laugh about it now, but that was a terrible thing to do, you know. But life is life, and that's all behind us. And the police wanted me to put her in jail, and I wouldn't do it. And the police thought I was crazy, and Larry thought I was crazy. And you know what the policeman said to me? He said, I finally met a true Christian, one that walks in the love of Christ. I said, I'm not going to press charges, and if I don't press charges, you cannot put her in jail. And then that's what he said to me. So I was a witness. He said, you truly do walk in the love of God. Come on. All right, where am I at? The enemy looks for cracks and crevices. So if you are praising God, reading his word, talking to him, kneeling down and worshiping, praying without ceasing, and by all means being mindful of your words, there will be no cracks or crevices. Right? Oh, I have a crack or two because some things leak out, right? And y'all do too, right? And we're working on this, right? We're trying to get perfected. The enemy puts thoughts in your mind when there is room. So how does he know there is room? By your actions and your words. I'll always be in the risk of being tempted to return. Aha, says the enemy, it's working. I'll finally get them to return. Be mindful of your words when an intrusive thought enters your mind. Jump up and praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus and free indeed. Dance around the house, glorifying God. The enemy will think, what happened? Did he not hear me? He's lost his mind. See that? Yes, resist the devil and he will flee. You are resisting to act upon the temptation. Your words are claiming who you are in Christ. You know, if you do what I just said, you are more than a conqueror, born again, free indeed, signed, sealed, sanctified, and saved. Amen. The devil is that lion looking for who he can devour. You are not the one he can devour because you don't have any cracks and crevices, do you? There's no room at the inn, right? Own it. I'm sorry. Claim it, own it, stand on the position of victory Jesus afforded you, boldness, confidence in God's word. Devil, you are not going to do this to me any longer. I am not your vessel. I belong to God. I'm his vessel. My ears are not in tune to your voice. My ears are in tune to God's voice and God's voice only, right? My thought life is not your thought life. My thought life is my thought life and God's thought life. He puts thoughts in my head, not you, right? This is the only way you're going to overcome this thing, guys. A predator is an opportunist. He does not persist in going after the strongest, which is the alpha. He preys on the weak, which is the vulnerable. You dumb women. I've had men tell me, oh, the best place to pick up a woman is in church. They're hurting and downcast, and they'll just fall for anything. You little suckers, you. Come on. You shouldn't do that. You're bold in Christ. You shouldn't have some man come in and pick you up because you're sitting there looking like a weakling. You're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Come on. If you want picked up, go to the street. Glorify the devil. You shouldn't be wanting picked up in the house of God. I don't know where I'm at now. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Can you? Think about this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We renew our minds by giving up self and focusing on Jesus, his heart, his mind, his authority. He is Lord and Savior. Are you getting this tonight? So in short, my question is, how do you fight intrusive thoughts? The first thing to be clear about is that you can control your thoughts. Concentrate on Bible study, Bible memorization, and Bible truth. Focus on Christ and who you are in Christ. Have a definite purpose in life and work and study towards that. Understand that God, that's the trouble of people in the body of Christ. They don't have no plan for their life, and so they're getting trouble every day. You're supposed to have a plan. You know what God has told you he must do with you. Then you're supposed to be working towards that destiny. If you're doing that, then you're in the Word, you're studying, you're praying, you're seeking God's face, you might be writing books or whatever it is God's told you to do, you might be learning dance steps. Whatever it is, you'll be working towards the goal that God has spoken over your life. If you're working towards that goal, you won't have time for any other messed up play. You hear me? You won't have any time to go out into the world and do worldly things because you're too busy working for God. Well, that's boring. To you, it might be. That means you don't love God anyhow. So go on. Go on about yourself and quit making everybody else miserable around about you. Right? Come on, guys. All right, number five, understand that God has a ministry for you to fulfill, and your time and energy should go towards that. Spend much time in prayer and communication with God. It is only when we are idle that our minds wander. If you are concentrating on something of significance, your mind will stay focused. Isn't that right? You guys who really do, you know, you do great things, your mind stays focused. You're always thinking about writing, right? And Barbara, you're probably always thinking about what God wants you to do in the glow. Alan, you're probably always listening for God's voice. What do you want you to do in your ministry? Elaine, you're probably always thinking about, God, where you want me to go to next. You see what I'm saying? You know, and Grace, I know you're consumed by your flag ministry. And whenever you're consumed by something God wants you to do, you don't have time to stray and do the things of the devil and other world. So I said, it is only when we are idle that our minds wander. If you are concentrating on something of significance, your mind will stay focused. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, we've read this before, we're going to read it again. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul said, if you do all the things that these things and do what you saw me do, then you will be in perfect peace. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretensions that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Do you really? Come on, do you really? We demolish arguments and every pretensions that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I know sometimes I sit at my computer, I'm studying or answering emails or doing, I've got a lot of things I have to do. And sometimes I sit there and beat, devil, get out of my mind. I can't concentrate. I have to think about God. You know, I'm trying to write an article. And the devil just has 10,000 things going through my head. Get out of my thought life. I can't deal with this right now. I have to keep my mind focused on Christ. I was trying to study yesterday, and everybody kept running into my study. They think I sit in there and do nothing, to tell you the truth. And I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't get anything done. And finally, I said, you guys are just going to have to go. Just go somewhere. Leave me alone. So I could get my way. Obviously, doing his schooling, trying to do my study and trying to get my lesson together, trying to get praise and worship together. And then the whole household come in and out, in and out. I finally had to say, go. Just go. What was the devil doing? He was using them to put intrusive thoughts into my mind to keep my mind stayed on them and their problems and not on Christ. And I couldn't do the work for God. And I know everybody in here, you had that problem too at times, right? One thing might be for you to define what pornography. Now listen to this, you guys that do pornography, or girls, I know girls do it too. One thing might be for you to define what pornography is, and I'm not merely speaking of the word pornography, but look into what it is for everyone involved, including God, so that you can see and hopefully develop a hatred towards it. All right? In other words, find something in it that you hate about it, not merely that you know God hates, but why he hates it. See that the viewer begins to objectify women and see them as vehicles to satisfy sexual pleasure. There's very little love in that. And anybody that looks at pornography, I think you ought to have your eyeballs knocked out. Because you know what? There's kids trapped, being stolen and used for these pornography things. It's terrible. Would you like one of your children to be on one of those pornography sites being used and abused? No, you wouldn't. Would you like yourself to be on or being used and abused? No, you wouldn't. So why do you look at somebody else's children being used and abused? Would you like your daughter, who is 16 years old, to be kidnapped and be used as a sex slave? No, you would. I hope you wouldn't. Then why do you look at it? Why are you giving somebody else money? You know, you're putting money in their pocket. What's his name? Hugh Hefner? When he died, you thought he was a god because of all the sexual things that he brought into the world. Well, anyhow. So I said, see that the viewer begins to objectify women and see them as vehicles to satisfy sexual pleasure. There's very little love in that. Learn to know what it is to truly love another person, particularly a woman slash wife. Instead of looking at your wife as, I'm going to go to bed tonight. That's not love. That's lust. You know, my daughter works at construction. She said the guys that she works with, they'll see some beautifully shaped women go down the street, and they'll say, boy, that's going to be Susan tonight. In other words, they're going to have sex, and think about that sexy woman they saw going down the street. Now, isn't that ridiculous? Notice how it draws you away from realizing the type of love that God wants us to experience. We're talking about what you're looking at when you're looking at pornography. Realize that it has turned you into a fornicator and determined to find out why that would displease God. Also think about what it does to the people that produce porn, the families that are devastated by it, the degrading morals that they contribute to a failing world mindset, how that mindset has insidiously woven its way into the very fabric of our culture, how the sex trade flourishes and young people are forced into the life of slaves. I think it's sickening. I do. The more I read about this sex slave thing, the more sickening I get. The list goes on and on. Think about it and come up with reasons that you personally don't want to be involved in it or any part of it. Increase your fidelity to God and His will, that we live a life that promotes a worldview that reflects His nature. So instead of shunning it and running away from the thoughts, embrace them. Instead of shunning pornography and running away from it, embrace them and realize that you are involved in a sinful set of behaviors. You've got to face the fact I am involved in a sinful set of behaviors that you're seeking, that you are seeking to change. See the ugliness of the sin and let your spirit be so revolted by it that you naturally turn from it. The Holy Spirit will guide you into that kind of growth. You see how this works? You don't cover it up. What you cover up is going to become uncovered. And what you ignore is it doesn't go away. You just ignore it. It gets even bigger and bigger. The first step to renewing your mind is to be mindful of our words, I'll always be. Yes, you will, as long as you have claimed that as your own, it is yours. So you don't say, I'll always be. All right? You don't say, I'm sick. You say, I'm healed. You don't say, I don't love my wife because some other pretty leg come along. You say, I love my wife. I adore her. And I don't even see another pretty leg. Liar. But that's how you say it, right? And you say that often enough, then your mind's going to get renewed and you're only going to want your wife or your husband. The instant the thought comes, say to yourself, that's not for me anymore. I reject that thought in the name of Jesus. Tell God you're struggling with this. Confess to God that your past, which He has forgiven, sometimes has its hooks in you mentally and spiritually. I'm repeating some of this because I want you to get this into your spirit. God said it's the intrusive thoughts is the reason why you're not staying free, because you get delivered, you go right back and start thinking about the things that you just got delivered from, and you let the door open. Also understand that thoughts are just really pulses of energy. I saw that somewhere. Science, real science, tells us energy cannot be destroyed, and usually gives a picture of sunlight on a plant. Plant decomps in the soil, and the result is a new plant. Gabriel does science, and I always have to look his stuff up for him, so I saw that and thought that was sort of neat. I guess it's a truth. It's on the internet. So then where do thoughts come from? Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And Isaiah 55:7-9, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. See that, you unrighteous people, if there's anybody here, get rid of your thoughts, is what this bird is saying. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God doesn't think about pornography. You know, he doesn't think about alcohol. He doesn't think about getting high. You know, his thoughts are not your thoughts. Verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, this is why God's been inviting us to go to the third heaven, because he wants us up there where we'll get at least a little bit close to his thoughts and his ways, right? 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You have to do the work. You have to bring that thought into captivity. Change your thoughts and it will change you. God's just had me change my thoughts about 3 weeks ago about a few things. And you know what? It has changed me. And I'm glad. I'm glad that he dealt with me and had me change the way I was thinking. And it's about people. And that's where we always get messed up, as we think about people and what they've done or haven't done, right? All right, so I said, change your thoughts and it will change you. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is spiritual warfare going on every day. Can we all agree on that? We are in the middle of spiritual warfare right now, where in our minds, and there's a tug of war going on. God wants our thought life. The devil wants our thought life. God wants us to get rid of those intrusive thoughts, and the devil wants to increase the intrusive thoughts. If he has you on a roll about somebody, about how bad they are or how they aren't doing what you think they should do, you're going to have to get off that roll. And you're going to have to say, no, devil, I'm not thinking that way anymore. I'm going to think the way Christ wants me to think about this person, right? Come on. And it's only then in your life it's going to change. You're going to keep yourself in total bondage until you change your way. If you're thinking intrusive thoughts against somebody, it's going to keep you in total bondage until you change the way they... Well, you just don't know. God does. And he said you have to change the way you're thinking. Amen. You're still sitting here. You're not dead. So there's still time for resurrection, right? Somewhere, right? Come on. There, I read that. Satan has special darts reserved for God's faithful children. And we must be quick to recognize these clever attacks for what they are. They are attempts to get us to exalt our own thoughts rather than bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Resist the enemy and he will flee. Rather than being apologetic about our obvious weaknesses, let us thank God that he has given us the all-powerful spiritual weapons to use in the battle, rather than the carnal fleshly weapons which are mass-produced by those in the world. All right, let me stop here. Now I said you have to bring your thoughts into captivity. Everybody knows I always fasted a lot when I was first saved for years and years, and I fasted 39 days. And I used to love, I don't like cashews anymore, but I loved cashews. And I'm sitting down there studying downstairs, you know, and this thought kept, their cashews were sitting there in the dish. That would really taste good. Just one is all you need. It really tastes good. And I sat there, instead of me leaving the cashews, going someplace else and sitting, I sat there till finally I took a cashew. I was going to fast 40 days. I fasted 39. And I ran up the steps and God said, where are you going? He said, you can hide from everybody in the house, but you can't hide from me. And I see you eating that cashew. You just ate your blessing. See, if I'd have left that dish or brought my thoughts into captivity, I would have had my blessing. Are you understanding this? You have to walk away from the temptation. You have to. Let us be thankful. Let me find a place where... Let us be thankful that by His enabling grace, God's enabling grace, we are following His ways rather than the ways of men, even if it means a lonely walk. Some people are not going to understand where God has you walking. They are not going to understand the way you think, the way you act. They won't understand nothing. But that doesn't matter. You are walking your way into freedom with God. All right? Let us stay by the word of God, measuring all things only by God's standards. Let us do more praying, more studying of the word, that we may know God's thoughts. Let us walk in the Spirit that we may think God's thoughts and go in God's ways. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I'm just going to say this because one of you men in here, maybe more than one, you go into the shower and you masturbate. You fight that thing, but you find a given and go into the shower and masturbate. Why would you do that? God wants you to ask yourself, why would you do that? That's not a God. I'll never forget when I was teaching about perversion. I was right there, that lady in white shirt, and I said, if God wanted you to masturbate, He'd put hair on your hand. And I thought, I just said that. I mean, if it's all God, He just can't. And I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord. I just kept on going. God never shut up. I was so embarrassed. You know, I like to fell through the floor. I would wish the floor would have swallowed me. But that's what God was saying. He had me teach this same thing that Brett taught years ago. I lost my place. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Is that where I'm at? By complete yieldness to the Holy Spirit so that we may not be conformed to this world. Romans 1 and 2. Let us put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and claim the victory in Christ. Why do you keep claiming the victory in Satan? Satan got the victory. You did your thing again. You HP'd it. You know. Being assured that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, no matter what men may say or think, even our own brethren. May God help us to bring every thought into captivity to Christ. The good thing is that the Holy Spirit will prevent you from watching such profanity again, if you ask Him to. But as long as that stronghold exists, you will always be in the risk of being tempted to return to watching pornography. So I need to help. I need help to overcome this stronghold. We all need this help. So in short, the question is, how do you fight intrusive thoughts? And how do you control your mind? Struggling with our thought lives can be very painful and very frustrating at times, especially those of us who were saved from much. In other words, if God has saved you and redeemed you and you go back, that's very frustrating. The tools that we have already mentioned will help, we've already read about, but the most effective tool is taking each and every lousy, sinful thought captive. Get out of my mind, Satan. How many times you smacked yourself in the head and said, get out of my thought life, Satan? I used to do that all the time. Come on. And giving it over to the Lord to deal with in 2 Corinthians 10:5. And also by simply believing God. How many times I've heard Him like say, just trust me. So, and also by simply believing God and trusting Him at His word. You can read 1 Corinthians 10:13. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and James 4, 7 and on. It'll tell you that. But the memorization of certain key scripture verses and passages remains at the center of both the battle and the cure. We have all loaded our pre-Christian mind with tons of lousy stuff, so the key to fighting intrusive thoughts and controlling our minds is done first and foremost by getting rid of all the garbage we collected in there over the years. And again, this is where scripture memorization comes in. When I was first born again, I had cards everywhere, you know, for scripture. Whatever was affecting me, I got the scripture, and then wherever I went, I read that thing. It was there before my eyes until that thing got so embedded in my mind, and I didn't have those thoughts anymore. You did that too? Yep, that's what they taught us, didn't they? I'm not sure how or why it works, but when you memorize God's word, it begins to shove all that lousy stuff to the background. And as you continue, it just seems to replace it all together. You will have a ton of space to remember other things now that are valuable and wholesome. You get all the junk out, you have all this empty space. Now you can stick the word of God in there. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, reading this again, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You should have memorized that tonight as we said it over and over again. And almost no room for the lousy stuff that none of us can avoid seeing each and every day of our lives. We're going to see this stuff. We're going to see the billboards. You're going to see half-naked women and men. I mean, it's everywhere. You're going to see sex on the TV. But if you have your mind filled with Christ, it will not affect you. You'll want to throw up watching, even seeing it, even listening to it, if you have your mind stayed on God and if you have your mind filled up with the things of God. And when you lock God's word into your mind and heart, you really have to make a consecrated effort to sin. In other words, if it's in there, then you really got to think really hard to sin. Because every time you try to, the Holy Spirit brings any number of your memorized verses to mind that tell you exactly why you shouldn't. Why you shouldn't do or think what you're about to do or think. It's like running into a spiritual brick wall. The only drawback is this. Scripture memory work is just that. It's work, especially at first, so it definitely isn't for everyone. But if you're willing to commit to it, there is a little that will have a greater all-over impact on your walk if you can memorize Scripture. If you can't memorize, just keep reading your Bible. Larry can just quote Scripture like crazy. In fact, he'll say to me, you said that wrong. This is how it's really stated. And he'll give me word for word and comma and period and everything else, and semicolons and everything. You know, he's good at that, all right? We should give. That's why I write everything down. I don't want him to critique me when I go home. We should give everything to God first and foremost. We should give our life, our heart, and our mind to him every morning before you get out of bed. Tell Satan to get out of your thought life and tell your filthy mind that it's cleansed that day. If it is a temptation you have weakness toward, get up and run out of where you are and get with others in public. If you have a weakness, don't go by yourself somewhere and hide, because you'll do your weakness. You have to keep yourself around those of like mind who will help you. I don't mean like mind sin, but Christians that will help you stay pure in your thought life. Do all you can to overcome the things and watch the Lord do the rest in his pleasure toward you. You do your part, God does his part. God is not surprised by our intrusive thoughts. He knows all of our thoughts. We are to submit our thoughts to God. Our minds as human beings are weak. The more we surround ourselves with worldly things, the more the world will invade our thoughts. Isaiah 26:3 says that God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. So if you're struggling with a sin and your mind is not stayed on God, that's the truth, right? We all have intrusive thoughts. We just have to turn them away with the truth of his word. What does Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written. Right? Galatians 5:16 tells us, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are all called to control what we think and dwell on. Tear down your imagination or they will tear you up. They'll take you out, literally. Psalm 119:9 and 11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. How can a young man keep his way pure, or a young woman? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. You young hot-blooded kids, you think, I need to go to bed, I need to go to bed, I need a boyfriend, I need a girlfriend, I just need. No, you need to say thoughts, get those thoughts out of your mind and say, I need Christ first. I need to be a vessel for Christ to work through before I can think about doing anything else with my life. Because if you don't have Christ in there, you're going to get yourself all messed up. Right, Alan? You've been there, right, Alan? And he can vouch for that. Many of us older people in here, some of you young people here can vouch for that, that if you don't have Christ in you, you're going to do some really dumb things later on down the road. You're going to wish you never. Don't you think that President Donald Trump wished he never did some of the things he did? Of course he does. They have come back to haunt him. You have to pay for your sin. There's just a price to pay. So tonight, why don't you give your thought life over to the Father? Why don't you tell him just to help you purify your mind and get rid of those intrusive thoughts? This is what God wants to do, because if you don't get rid of those intrusive thoughts, God cannot use you. If you're always thinking about how you're going to hurt somebody, or how you're going to get vengeance against them, or what they've done to you and all that kind of stuff, God can't use you because your mind is always going astray. It's always filled with junk. And God can't speak through a mind, you know, a person has their mind filled with junk. Your mind has to be filled with the thoughts of God, the Word of God. So the altar's open this evening. And this is really heavy tonight. And this is very serious, because God wants your thought life and he wants it purified. He wants all those intrusive thoughts taken away from you. You people are making me really dig into something, because I never even heard the word intrusive. I thought, what is intrusive mean? So I found out what it meant. I told you what it meant. And some of you say, yes, amen. I know what she's talking about, what God's talking about. So you need to get up here and you need to get your minds cleansed. There's not a one of you in here that need your mind cleansed tonight, because I know you have intrusive thoughts. Come on. That's why you stay bound. That's why I don't see the glory cloud over you. You're wanting to do a works for God, but yet you don't want your mind to be sanctified. You need to get your mind sanctified here tonight. Come on, give him your thought life. Give it to him totally and completely tonight. It's you and God. I can't do a thing with your thought life, but God can.